Everybody, welcome to a Thursday Sports Line, the Bulldog Hour. Cam Horry alongside, as always, we'll take it at three, hand it off to our good friend Phil Benatti, normally on a Thursday at Faction Furniture with another good buddy, Rod Avedikian, best furniture on the planet. All of that, of course, is on El Paso across the River Park. Today, however, because Phil has been in San Francisco on Radio Row and still is leading up to Super Bowl, and we have that game for you through Westwood One on Sunday, Phil will not be at Faction Furniture, but we'll mention again, stop on by and see Rod and check out the great furniture, and Phil will be back there next week. And as soon as we wrap up today, we'll be off to San Francisco for Phil, his full 3 hours, and then the Lakers after that. I'll tell you all about the schedule, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his outstanding business, Precision Civil Engineering, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof, 449-4500, or precisioneng.net for more information. When we go over the schedule for both 1430 and 790, I'll tell you all about the fundraising Ed does through the Lyles College of Engineering on campus for his alma mater, Fresno State. We'll get to that a little bit later in the show. We'll get to Matt Norville, our usual Thursday visit with our friend and the voice of the women's program, and also on TV for the men, and there frequently when Paul is not on the radio side as well. So we'll get to Matt in just a second. He is fresh off the women's victory last night, resounding victory up in San Jose. And by the way, softball starts tomorrow here in town, so we'll cover that as well. And there are a couple of things include of local interest, because the trading deadline just ended in the NBA that we'll go over, including Paul George and his situation right now, and what went on with the Warriors today in regard to Giannis and all of that stuff, which had and still does have great local interest, because as we mentioned, Giannis spends a lot of time here because his wife Mariah happens to be from here. So we'll get to that a little bit before we get to Fresno State with Matt. Do that in a second, but first, our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing want to do what they do every day. Allow me the time to tell you about the weather on the web at leesair.com, or you can give them a call at 825-533-7825-LEES. Anything you need, Central Air Plumbing, Heating, Roofing, terrific local people. Had them in to do work even during COVID. They're really professional people, very competitive pricing. Anything you need, give them a call, 825-537. That's 825-LEES, or, again, leesair.com on the web. Also, they sponsor the Lee's Air Hotline. That is a separate phone number, but mark this one down. It's the number we bring up guests like Matt Norville, but also Phil is able to take callers from the general public. So 559-320-1430. That is the Lee's Air Hotline. So, again, the differentiation, 825-533-7825-LEES. For anything you need business-wise, then the Lee's Air Hotline at 320-1430 to call and talk to Phil. As far as forecast goes, once again, it's gorgeous up in the Bay Area right now. It's the Chamber of Commerce time for everybody there with all the frozen media from the east there. And for us, it's more of the same, as the temperatures are right around 70. Foggy, of course, overnight, but dry. It's great for creature comfort. But as we've talked over and over again, it's not great coming up in the spring and summer for water consumption. Even though we got off to a great start for the rainy season, we had a dry January, literally and figuratively a dry January. And we haven't had the snow nor the rain so far in February. So you're looking at temperatures 71, 69, 69, 68, 62, 59, 60 over the next seven, and the lows in the mid-40s, which means fog time. But the only legitimate chance for rain, and who knows if it's going to verify, would be next Tuesday and Wednesday. And at that time, maybe we get some snow. And once again, we need it, because if we're going to go through February and March like January, we're going to have a real problem come April as it warms up. And you have all those restrictions, not only for residential interest, but more importantly for agriculture. So pull for the rain right now. Enjoy the weather out there. Be very careful in the outlying areas in early morning hours with the fog, and enjoy the great sunshine in the afternoon. Anyway, thanks everybody at Lee's for allowing me the time to tell you about the weather. Leesair.com, 825-5337, 825-LEES. Tell you what, I want to address Paul George and the Warrior questions. But first, let's bring Matt up, and we will get to that with Matt and then get right to Fresno State. So let's bring up our good friend Matt Norville, voice of your women's program on radio and TV and also with the men as well, very frequently subbing for Paul. Matt, how you doing?
I'm good, Tony. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine, Matt. A big and easy win last night for the women, and we'll get to that in a second. But I want to address things we have talked about before of local interest here as the trading deadline in the NBA went by. First of all, Rodney asked, I had made a comment the other day about Paul George, and I said I feel badly for Paul because this was not some sort of substance enhancement that he was looking with. Using it was instead anxiety medication and things, and he has been the first to admit he should have cleared it and he didn't check it properly, and it's costing him 25 games and $12 million. But what I did mention, Matt, at the time, this is what Rodney emailed about, was that it could be a blessing in disguise for the Sixers, who are playing great ball. And by the way, we have them on our air tonight against the Lakers. They've been in L.A., and we're up in the Bay Area. They beat the Clippers handily. They beat the Warriors handily the other night, admittedly, without Steph there. And now they play the Lakers tonight. But the reason I bring up to Roddy and anybody else that it might be a blessing in disguise is that Paul George and the Sixers, when they're healthy, because Embiid is healthy right now, they are formidable. And Paul has battled injury after injury. And, Matt, I would say this. Having the 25 games off right now could actually hold him physically in better stead for the postseason, particularly if the team continues to win right now without him. I know that's a little bit of glass half full, which I'm not always someone who does that, as you're aware. But I do think it could be a break for he and the Sixers going forward. And who knows? Maybe he will be the first of our Mount Rushmore to actually win a title. What do you say about that?
Yeah, I'd agree. It could be a blessing. It's a blessing for a couple of reasons. One, also, I believe it keeps Philadelphia under the luxury tax, so they don't have to pay
that's
an
correct
amount of dollars,
yeah, they get
now
a break
because of that.
Yep.
So that's a big-time blessing to the Sixers. Yeah, I totally agree with that. When you get older players, sometimes getting reps toward the stretch run is actually a positive more so than a negative. If you think about it, I know it's different circumstances, but think about the Lakers winning the bubble championship. That was a big deal that they had a little bit of a break. They could rest their bodies. Then they went to a bubble, didn't have to travel. And look at how fresh the Lakers look with LeBron and AD and all. They look like a completely different team. I think so. You could see that with the Sixers. Health is going to be a big deal, and then production in the playoffs, obviously. I mean, you think the Celtics are still hooping, but they don't have Tatum. Jaylen Brown's playing wonderful, but you don't have Tatum. That's a big loss come postseason. Brunson and the Knicks, what are the Knicks going to be with a couple of injuries that they've got? I know they just made a move today as well. But, yeah, the Sixers will be in there. It'd be cool to see a Fresno State guy end up, you know, winning the title or at least playing in the big game. You know, he had Judge a couple years ago in the World Series. I think PG probably has the best chance, honestly, if you're thinking about it. I know Devontae with the Rams, he was a game away from the Super Bowl, but I feel like that the Sixers actually being in the East have the best chance of doing it. Judge with the Yankees, Judge is so good, and the Yankees are always good, but the Dodgers are just loaded, man, and that's going to be a tough one. And then in the NFL, it just comes down to health, and can Devontae stay healthy? Can your quarterback Stafford stay healthy if he's still with the Rams? So you go through all those things. I would agree that PG has the best possibility, and the 25 games could be a blessing in disguise. The only thing, it does hurt his pockets, and it hurts perception. I know we're a big Fresno State. Obviously, we shade towards Fresno State, and we know what's really going on, but you've got guys out there that are saying it's PEDs and stuff. You have Dylan Brooks go out and say that he knew he was taking stuff because of what his performance was recently. So not everyone's always believing everything, but I think it can help Paul George in the end.
Yeah, and that is a more than fair point. You're right, Matt. If you don't delve into it deep on the surface, you go, oh, okay, someone who's trying to use performance-enhancing drugs. That was not the case at all, and we brought it up the other day, speaking of the bubble, that Paul George was very public about his separation anxiety in the bubble away from his family, his nuclear family, and including his parents, by the way, but also his wife, his kids. And he said that it took a tremendous toll. And I mentioned he was kind of ridiculed a little bit by, you know, put your big boy pants on. Now that has become much more socially acceptable in the last 5 or 6 years. But when he came out about his issues in 2020 in the bubble, it was less than sympathetic, the response in a lot of places. Since then, Kevin Love and a lot of people have backed him up. But people who don't pay attention to that don't understand that that's the genesis of the issue right now, and they do dismiss it as someone who's trying to cheat the system, and that is not the case. But the 25 games off, and to your point, I always think about what happened when Michael Jordan left after the Bulls' first three-peat. The Bulls' initial three-peat was 91, 92, and 93. Then Michael left to play baseball, and he was gone for all of 94, and then came back just belatedly for the playoffs in 95, and he was not in game shape, and they weren't able to get it done. But the Rockets won both of those titles, and the first one they won, they were very dominant, but the second title, they actually were the sixth seed in the West, and the reason was because Olajuwon was hurt. But he happened to come back at just the right time and mentioned that probably the time off he had is what enabled them to repeat. So, yeah, you know what? If it were a perfect world, we've talked about it, Matty, the NBA regular season would be 60 games. I think everybody knows it would be best if you played three times a week, no more than that. But the trouble is with the salaries, you have all of those games that belong to the local networks, and now you've got Prime Video with their exclusive nights, Peacock with their exclusive nights, NBC has exclusive nights, ESPN and ABC. You got to have those 82 games, but most players will tell you, Matt, after 60 games, it gets really, really tough physically.
Definitely, Tony. I couldn't agree more. It's tough. Think about it. You're trying to peak every single time you play in theory. Well, you can't peak 82 games, then go through what is a grueling postseason schedule. And people forget, I know you don't, but it used to be best of five in the first round back in the day. Yeah. It's best of seven now. So it's just it's basically a two-month-long playoff if you're going to get to the finals and win it all. Then you throw on top of PG played for Team USA as well, so that throws on wear and tear on your body. Then you're making deep playoff runs. Sometimes the best thing is rest and just to get your body away from playing, rejuvenate yourself. Even if you're practicing, you're still not playing games. Everyone will tell you games is different than practice. It just is. No matter how hard you go in practice, it ain't a game. So it could be beneficial for him in the long run, no doubt about it, for Paul George. I mean, I'm rooting for him. I like PG. And like you said, it was definitely tied into his mental health. Everyone knows that. Also, you can pay attention to the wording that the NBA said when they said they announced the suspension. I tell people that all the time. If there's performance enhancing, most of the time the professional leagues will put that in their got caught with performance enhancing drugs or a supplement or something like that. They didn't say that at all. They just said he violated the drug policy. So I think that was another tell for me as well, on top of the fact that PG made a statement. But yeah, the Sixers, we've been saying it for years though, Tony. As long as they're healthy, Embiid's a big one. If Embiid is healthy with PG, they've got as good a chance as anyone, especially because they're in the East.
Yeah, and the fact that Maxey and Edgecombe now give them such a tremendous backcourt, and we'll see what happens, but it could be that Paul will be the first of our Mount Rushmore to get it done. Although a lot of that may be determined by whether OKC is healthy or not. Right now, OKC has their problems. Williams has had his problems. Now you have SGA out. If they're healthy, locked and loaded, getting to the finals is a possibility for Philly. Winning it is going to be a whole different set of circumstances if OKC, the defending champions, are healthy. Stay tuned. We'll see what's going on. By the way, when I'm talking about 94, 95 seasons, I'm talking about 93, 94, 94, 95. It's always tricky. The NBA and referring to Super Bowl is always tricky because they cross over the calendar year. So you have to be careful what reference you're making. The other thing, and there are a bunch of emails about this. Oh, and by the way, before I forget, All About Football tomorrow. Jackson and I covered almost all of the signees beforehand. We talked about early signing day and all of that, usurping regular signing day, which was, of course, yesterday. But Jackson with me tomorrow, and we'll go back over football. So those that are waiting for that, we will get to it tomorrow. But the questions about Giannis and the Warriors, What came out of this today, and I want to make this clear, there are a lot of unhappy front office people, including those up in the Bay Area, because everybody has said it now. It's obvious that Milwaukee never intended to really seriously entertain an offer about Giannis. They never were specific about what they wanted. They just wanted to see what was out there, and they threw out comments now like, well, knock our socks off with an offer. That's not how you do it. If you're sincere and you really want to make a deal, you tell people what you're looking for, how many draft choices you're looking for, what kind of players you're looking for. They were intentionally vague, and now we find out it's because Milwaukee wants to not only wait till the summer, which I mentioned start of the week. I would certainly do the same thing because, you know, your draft picks then and more people, more teams have the ability to bid. But you also run the danger of Giannis going to the final year of a contract and saying, you know what, I'm not going to sign with anybody long term. And he could then dictate where he goes. So it's tricky. But the thing is, Milwaukee was not honest. So, for instance, for the Warriors, they would have gone after Jaren Jackson, who ended up going to Utah, except they thought they had a shot at Giannis, so they held their draft choices, and they also held on to players, and then Utah made a better offer. Then the Warriors find out that Milwaukee was not sincere at all. Okay, that's not on the Warriors. Also, it's not on the Warriors that Jimmy Butler got hurt. Not their fault. That's why they did the best they could with Porzingis after Giannis fell through. We'll see what happens in the summer, by the way, with Giannis. But what is all over the Warriors, and I want to make this clear to those that have emailed me, they are completely to blame, the Warrior front office, for the failure to take those gift lottery picks they had because of the injuries to Durant, and then he left, and to Thompson, and to Curry, and the Warriors were dreadful in 2020. They also had Minnesota's pick, and they ended up messing up with Wiseman at 2. They got nothing for that. They got nothing for Kuminga at 7, and all that's left of that triumvirate is Moses Moody. And I'm telling you, Matt, if you're going to be a great team and stay great, you can't afford to make mistakes when the gods of basketball gift you a chance when normally you're drafting way down the list, and the Warriors flat bleeped it up, and they have themselves to blame for it. And I can guarantee you, Paizan, Joe Lacob is smoking out of both ears about the failure of the front office, which was Bob Myers and now Mike Dunleavy, to get that done. And that's why the Warriors are in the fix they're in right now.
Totally agree. Tony, there's two things there that are very true. What's the age-old adage all the time when it comes to basketball, specifically in draft? You take the best player available no matter what. They say that all the time, no matter what. They were talking about back in the day with Portland, they already had Clyde Drexler. You take Jordan. You take Jordan and you just figure it out. It's the same thing with the Warriors when they took Wiseman. You're sitting there and you're saying, man, there are some good players available. Keep in mind, they like Halliburton that year. I think Anthony Edwards was that year too. You had a few players you could have. They took Wiseman at 2 because Ant was taken before him. And then who else? I'm missing a player too, Tony, from that year. It was a really good player.
Well, I'll tell you the biggest issue. You know, two things, Matt, quickly. One, Minnesota had the first pick. They picked Edwards first, but they saved the Warriors the embarrassment, because I'm going to tell people the truth right now. The Warriors were going to pick Wiseman regardless. They got lucky.
Yeah, they were.
Saying, well, you know what? Edwards was gone. You know how bad they would look right now if they would have picked Wiseman number one, which they would have if they would have gotten the one pick. But the big controversy that came out of that, and you're referencing it, Steve Kerr, because, you know, he did not get along with Kuminga because Kuminga wanted to be a solo artist and he didn't want to defer to Steph. And a lot of people said at the draft, pay attention to Kuminga's attitude, because he grew up idolizing Kobe Bryant and wanted to be that post-up guy, which doesn't work for the Warriors. He evidently didn't channel Kobe's defensive expertise, I'll tell you that. But who Kerr wanted was Wagner. That's who he wanted, and that's who went right after Kuminga. And that's who he wanted, and that has caused hard feelings forever in that organization. And I'll tell you, you just don't get that kind of gift, Matt, to be lucky enough to be able to draft. Because, you know, if you're a bad team, every year you're up there. When you're a good team, mm-hmm. you get a breakup at the top of the draft, and you get 3 of the top 14 picks, and you mess it up. Are you kidding me? Just
Well, Tony, the thing was, too, Kerr spoke high on Tyrese Halliburton as well. That was another player he really, really liked, but they weren't going to take him. Tyrese has talked about it many times on different podcasts. I think the second issue I have is not just the drafting. It's the Jordan Poole issue. Jordan Poole was a very good player that they had to get rid of because of the Draymond Green incident. Right? I mean, they just had to get rid of one of them, and unfortunately, you let go of Jordan Poole. You look at it and you say, man, if you still have Poole, Poole had free reign. The Bay Area loved Jordan Poole. Yeah, he didn't have a great postseason its final time, but the year before, he was spectacular. And you just say, okay, he had a down year. But the incident with Draymond Green and Poole, that changed the entire dynamic. Those are the two I look back on. I say, hey, the draft classes and the draft mistakes they made, and then the Jordan Poole issue that I think if you're the owner, you look back at.
I think you're right, and we'll see what happens in the summer with Porzingis. The problem with Porzingis, and I'll get off the Warrior bandwagon right now, guys, that emailed about it, and everybody else, we get to Fresno State again. I did bring it up because Giannis, of course, would have been very much in this town a lot if he were playing for the Warriors, that's for sure. But Porzingis, like a lot of guys in the league, their first name should be oft-injured because he is oft-injured, Porzingis. There are a lot of guys in the league that are like that. When they're healthy, they're really good, but they're just never healthy. So we'll see how it plays out. All right. Matt, I want to ask you here about obviously the men's game. We talked, spent all day yesterday talking about that crazy finish in the men's game and the unbelievable win. And by the way, the men are in Reno on Saturday. The women are home against the Wolfpack, 3 o'clock at SMC. The men play at 7 o'clock up at the Lawler Center. But, Matt, aside from the way the game played out against UNLV and the Bulldogs winning, the commonality that I see, and we talked about it a couple weeks ago, between the men's team and the women's team, is that they're both looking for that signature win. Do you think either is going to find a way to get it this year in conference?
Ooh, that's a really good question, because the signature win's got to come, in my opinion, it's got to come against the top or upper echelon of the conference, the top four team.
Yes.
It's going to be tricky. They've got to have all the variables got to be going that game. You got to be shooting the basketball well. They have to play full 40 minutes of basketball for both teams. For the women's side, I'll start with them before I get to the men. The women's going to be even trickier because they just don't have players available, Tony. I mean, on our pregame show yesterday, Coach McCarthy said we basically have 7.5 players, and that's because Kuna's playing with a broken finger, and she's like, I'm just going to play because I'm a senior. She can only use one hand. She had a very good game yesterday, but she can only use one hand, so you're really down to 7. And any sort of foul trouble, which they started getting foul trouble in that second half, but they're already up 30, so it wasn't a big deal. They have to bring players on the bench. People are going to foul out, and then they're in all sorts of trouble just because of injury. So that's going to be tough for them because they're going to have to be so efficient and almost play the perfect game, which Coach McCarthy talks about. He says we have very small margins and very little room for error. So on the women's side, it's going to be tricky because San Diego State's so good. UNLV is so good. Boise State is really good, and they've already lost twice to Colorado State. So there's your top four. So to answer your question, I mean, it can happen, but it's got to be a perfect game for them to knock off one of those teams. They got to defensively just grind it out, dominate the glass, which they are first in the conference in rebounding, and then they've got to knock down shots. Plain and simple, if they shoot some three ball like they did yesterday in the first half where they knocked down 9 threes, they're fine. But if they have a game that they had against Wyoming where they're 1-17, they're in trouble. So I think that's what you look at for the women's side. On the men's side, you just really have to – I mean, it comes down to scoring, obviously. But you just need your three scorers to have good games at the same time. Because I think against those upper echelon teams, I think Coach Wahlberg would agree, you're probably not going to limit them too much in scoring. So you have to score with them. What I was happy with, I know a lot of it came from the foul line, but – the fact is, they scored 98 points against UNLV, and they 98-96. You, at some point, you just have to score, man. I know the age-old attitude of defense wins championships, but I always say offense wins games, though. So if Hyde Reeder gets going, Collins gets going, and you get Gorey as well. They're shooting the three ball well, and you know how this goes, Tony, especially in college basketball. If you're lights out from three, you can knock someone off. But that's what they're looking for. They need to beat one of those top teams. It's going to be tricky because those teams are so good. And the other thing is, you're going to get their full attention. And it doesn't always happen where top teams give a team that they don't feel like is at their level full attention. The problem is you've got teams competing for the NCAA tournament. So when they're competing and they know every game matters, you are going to get their attention big time. So Fresno State is going to have to put together one of those types of games. And if they're scoring the basketball and shooting the three well and they're in the game, then anything can happen because the other team could get a little tight towards the end knowing how much they have to win that game.
Well, you're correct. The other thing is we've talked so often about where the ball belongs late in the game. Obviously, Collins is your facilitator. At times, he can be your best offensive option. We know Highbreeder consistently is going to be the best go-to guy, and we certainly talk about the potential of Gorey. But the other thing, Matt, that has come up, and we knew it, but we just didn't see it on the court because of health, Douglas has to be healthy. Because he is a knockdown shooter. He's a guy who you're not surprised when he's 4 of 7 or 5 of 7 from three. You know, he put that one between 28 and 30 dead center, or there would not have been the final opportunity the other night. And Douglas has had his physical issues. And Matt, if they're going to make any kind of surprise run at all into the regular season or into the conference tourney, I think that Douglas must be on the court consistently and has to find a way to stay healthy. And I'm concerned every game that he's going to go down again. It's just the way it seems to work, you know?
Yeah, he's a key. I mean, if you've talked to what you have and I have talked to Coach Wahlberg the last couple of years, how much does he talk about how important DJ is? I mean, he just is. DJ's got that capability that he can give you 20 in a game, and he can be a complete game changer because, like you said, he can stretch the defense. He can knock down the three. He can back up a couple of steps deeper than the three-point line, knock down that shot. He's got a good pull-up, which is what you saw in the game tying three that he hit. That was a tough shot that he buried. You have to have him healthy, and you have to have him effective. That's the thing, because if he gets going a little bit, now everything will start to click, because Highbreeder is going to see so much attention. You're going to have Gorey, who I've been very impressed with. Oh, he's grown as a freshman. Deion running the show. But if you can get that, if you can get DJ knocking down shots and just being an offensive threat, it's going to make Fresno State an entirely different basketball team. And that's what you need, honestly, when you're playing those top four teams in conference, that the Utah State, the San Diego State, you know, the GCUs, the teams that have players like that, they have athletes. You've got to stay with them, and you've got to be able to score the basketball. And that's what they can have if they all get clicking. And all you need is one game like that. And I think Coach Wahlberg, I think he's close, Tony. I don't think anyone wants to play Fresno State because they know that they've got enough that if they get going, they could be a tough one.
Well, and, you know, everything in life is timing. Everybody's aware of that, I think. For the Bulldogs, it's a really interesting situation they face now coming up because you come off of this win, and it's, yesterday we tried to be as fair and as objective as we could about it. UNLV had been struggling. They had been blown out three times in a row, including two of those three at home. They, you know, came in here. They should have won the game. UNLV should have won the game in the last couple of minutes, but they did not play intelligently and give Fresno State all the credit in the world, as we said yesterday, for not letting go of the rope. The Bulldogs never thought for a moment that they were out of that thing, even though all logic would have told you that the odds were definitely against them. So give the Bulldogs all due credit, but UNLV has to take its share of the blame for allowing the Bulldogs in that position. That having been said, you have a fan base, I think, for the first time that's starting to pay attention. You know in this road trip, Matt, that you're going to play the best team in one of the most difficult places to play after you go to the Lawler Center, and that's you go to the Spectrum in Logan. So you don't want to go back home 0-2. So I would say to you, this game in Reno, as far as your fan base starting to pay attention, is absolutely critical. They desperately need to win this game at the Lawler Center. Can they do that, in your opinion? They should have had them at home. Can they get them on the road?
Yeah, they can totally get them. I agree with you, too, by the way. They need the win against Nevada. That would just be a good piggyback to the come-from-behind win over UNLV, because what you've got is you've got a fan base that wants to get excited. They want to go. But then you have, you know how it is, you got positive people that are about Fresno State, and you got the negatives going, yeah, but I mean, if the UNLV kid doesn't commit a flagrant, they lose. Oh, I mean, you go, oh, well, yeah, you did this, but I mean, they shot 44 free throws. No, the always there's the but. So you need a good win on the road against Nevada, and then I think you also need to follow that up with not getting blown out at Utah State. Because if you go to Nevada and you lose, and then you lose by 20-plus at Utah State, you're back to square one, honestly. So you want to make sure that you go and you're competitive, and they can definitely take care of Nevada. You just go and you do what you do. Heidbreeder does what he does. You get Zion running the show, get Gorey to get going, and if you can have BJ knock down some shots, I don't think you have to have a special performance, in my opinion, to beat Nevada. I think you just have to have a good performance to beat Nevada. Utah State's a whole other animal. You've got to have a special performance to beat Utah State on the road. That's a tough place to play. They've already got a couple of losses, and they are not trying to lose any more games because they don't want to be flirting on the bubble of the NCAA tournament. That's for sure. So that's a whole other animal. But, yeah, they can definitely get Nevada. I think you've got to be strong on the glass. They've got to play good defense. But I know I keep saying it, and people that listen to me, they've got to score, Tony. When you watch Fresno State, they've got the capability of scoring. And if you listen to Coach Walberg when he first got hired, he was talking about scoring the basketball. That is his MO. So they've got to score on the road against Nevada. And if they do that, yeah, they can definitely knock off the Wolfpack.
Yeah, and if they do win, then you're right. As long as they play a respectable game at Logan, I think everybody's fine. The other thing, and you know this, last year Fresno State got off to that big, big start in Logan, with 17, I think, early in that game. But one of the great factors was they happened to go to Logan while the students were not there. They were not in session at that point. That is not the case in early February. You're going to have that student section, and they are positioned, as you're referencing, to be a royal pain in the rear end when you're there, never mind how good that Utah State team is. So it's that same situation. You win, if you can win at Lawler, then the Tuesday game becomes an opportunity game. If you lose at Lawler, then the burden of Tuesday is enormous because you do not want to backstep with the perception of your fan base on the line with a couple of losses. It's a tough conference on the road because of travel and elevation and all of that. But I think the Bulldogs have a real shot, particularly on Saturday, 7 o'clock again on DMW. The women are at home at 3, so plenty of time to come on out on Saturday and then get home in time to watch the men on the net. Matt, before I let you go today, I love talking basketball with you. We could do it 3-4 hours a day. I mean, your knowledge is outstanding, and it really is a delight for me to talk to you. I do want to address the softball team. We have a new, very successful, aggressive coach who has big-time experience but also SoCal roots and who has big expectations. Now, this is the Bulldog Kickoff Classic with Southern Illinois, Edwardsville in, and Idaho State. These are not games that Fresno State figures to be challenged by. It's just a chance for everybody to see them out there. But how daunting is the task to get this program back where it belongs, which is not just in a regional, but actually getting to a super regional, which, as I've mentioned to you, Matty, incredibly, since they won the last national championship, Quest, meaning not just the title in 98, but their last time at Oklahoma in 99, they've never even gone to a super regional. Is it reasonable to think they can get through a regional this year?
Man, that's putting a lot on this year's team. I would say I think that's too much to put on this year's team. I also want to backtrack. SIUE and Idaho State, Idaho State won the Big Sky last year, and they're preseason pick to win the conference. And SIU Edwardsville lost in the championship game. They were the second-best team last year, and they're preseason number two in their conference. So you've got top two conference teams coming in to take on Fresno State. So Coach Morgan's not playing a cupcake schedule either. She's got Texas Tech on the schedule as well, and she's bringing back the old school Fresno State. Hey, we play everybody. It doesn't matter. We are Fresno State. But I think that's a lot to put on this year's bunch, frankly, just because it's going to be a lot of new kids, and we're just going to see how it goes in her first season. Their preseason pick to finish sixth in the Mountain West Conference, and they have no one on the preseason Mountain West Conference selection, and that has more to do with just the players that they lost to the P4 programs from last season than anything. So I'm curious just to see how they look. I give it about a month or so before I will have a good beat on it. But, yeah, I think if you come in right now expecting and want to see if she can do it in her first year, I think that's too much. I think if they have a good run in the Mountain West Conference, finish top four to like a semifinal in the Mountain West Conference, I think that's a pretty solid year in her first season for head coach Charlotte Morgan. I know Fresno State fans don't want to hear that. You got to remember, she's walking in. You had a coach that left and went to Iowa. You had a lot of players that went to P4 schools. Their starting catcher, who started every single game, is now in the SEC playing. You got your best pitcher, who's the Mountain West Pitcher of the Year, is now went with coach to Iowa. Got a really good third baseman who's now in the ACC. Like, I mean, you start going down the list. I mean, I think if she finishes top four in the Mountain West Conference and gets to a semi, that's a pretty successful first year. I think it's going to be a pretty in her first year, but come year two, and you know how I am, Tony, about this, look out. I think she is a great hire by coach or by athletic director Garrett Classy, because I think Morgan can not only coach the game, I think she can relate. I met her staff at the meet and greet. She's got a couple of young girls who just got done playing softball at a high level, so they can relate to the students, and she was a superstar player, SEC Player of the Year in Alabama, so she knows it. She'll be able to schedule whoever she wants. And I'm telling you, Fresno State will be back. Just give them at least a year, if not two.
A couple of things, Matt, and I did not phrase it properly. I wasn't deigning to say that they would be in the Super Regional this year. What I meant was, is a reasonable expectation that they will be able to reassume at least that level of prominence as sometime in the foreseeable future under the new coach. The other thing is, what you bring up about the competition this week is fair. The reason I reference it that way is because next week, University of Washington is in. And that goes to your point that they're not dodging anybody, but that they are in, at least conference-wise, a situation where Fresno State is going to face, on paper, much greater challenges in weeks to come. I hope they're able to get something done this week. I do want to equate this to the conversation that Kelvin Sampson has been having now, talking about Houston, and they are a poor university in regard to money, and what you just brought up with Fresno State. I think of a P4, and I know that they were just saying on SportsCenter that, what, $73 million or thereabouts per school will go to the SEC schools, which sounds great, although it pales in comparison to what the Big Ten is getting. But when you have a P4 like Houston complaining, and Kelvin Sampson, who's been in a variety of places and is very well paid, by the way, saying we can't afford to hold on to our players. Matt, you brought it up. Can Fresno State ever afford in any sport to hold on to its players anymore?
Do you want the honest answer, or you want me just to say?
This is what you were just talking about with softball. You know, you climbed the mountain, they came really close. They've been in regionals, but they can't seem to get past it. And then it looks like they can't hold on to anybody.
I'll do this at the mid-major level, not just Fresno State. It's virtually impossible to hold on to a player of that caliber. Just we talk about the money is one thing, the prestige is another. It takes a lot. Even if you pick kid, we'll say they're going to get, Fresno State comes up with $100K to get him or her for a sport. If the kid is really good, the other school could theoretically come in with $400,000 or more. That's four times what you're getting at a university that's a P4 that is on ESPN all the time. And they're all around the country. You see them all the time. You're going to get more notoriety. It's just tough, man. It's not impossible. You can. But it's going to take a special kid. It has nothing to do with the coach. It has nothing to do with the university. A lot of times, if you talk to any of these kids that leave, they had a great time at Fresno State. They love the community. They love the coaching staff. It's just simple dollars and cents, man. They're trying to maximize their potential when they have such a limited window. Why do you think you have so many athletes trying to get back into college and are suing the NCAA? It's because this is their window, this is their time, if they're not forced enough to play at the highest level. Can it happen? Yes. Is it more difficult? It totally is. I mean, San Diego State lost their number one pitcher. She's in the SEC this year, and she finished up runner-up right behind Soraya, and she was the Mountain West Tournament Player of the Year. So, I mean, I just think it's going to – I think it's tough, man. Can it happen? Yes. But to answer your question, I just don't know. Unless you get that special donor, which we talked about, Tony, that walked in and said, hey, I'll pay a mil. Remember, money talks at the end of the day. So if you throw enough at it, you could keep a kid.
Well, it's just in the bat and ball sports in particular, with such a great tradition of success, it is extraordinarily frustrating to see the difficulty. And it's not just Fresno State. It's all the way across the country. The attrition rate is enormous. And I'm not just talking about a Paul Skeens leaving the academy, essentially to position himself not only for more money at LSU, but basically for the draft. And as we know, everything has worked out just fine for him in Major League Baseball. But it's just so incredibly difficult to grasp the competitive imbalance that's getting worse and worse day to day. And being so used to Fresno State being always in a great place to go to Omaha or to go to Oklahoma City, and now saying just getting into a regional and trying to get out of it is a incredibly difficult undertaking. And it's something that I'm still trying to adjust to, but you know, I guess that's where we're at with this thing. And unfortunately, Maddie, I guess we're going to stay that way until Congress, if and when Congress gets involved, and we seem to talk about it every single day. And, you know, I guess
good luck with that, Tony.
Yep.
Good luck with that. And I just want to say something real quick. But if you think about it, times change so quickly in sports. I think John Calipari was talking about that at one point, people didn't even think Kentucky was a good basketball school anymore. I mean, it just changes so quickly because you get, if you think about social media, well, Facebook was big, Facebook and MySpace. Then it went to, you know, everyone was on Twitter. Then it's Instagram, it's TikTok, you know, you have Snapchat in there. Things change so quickly that it's hard to go back even 15, 20 years and say, you know, this program was good, this program has this tradition, because young kids will be like, yeah, but what they do last year? What they do 2 years ago? And it's just, it's one of those, it's tough nowadays, man, it really is.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll let you go with a story that was just in the B about Matt Entz and, you know, saying that Rasmussen and those guys handling the NIL stuff and how it works and the slotting and all of that, because Matt, simply put, does not, he's aware of it, but he doesn't want it to become his relationship with the players. And I can understand that completely. He wants to talk about retention. He wants to talk about acquisition. He wants to talk about moving forward, but he doesn't want to talk about the specifics with every single player, because that gets in the way of trying to develop a program. And I know coaches all across America, save for the very few of the haves, are all grappling with that real difficult and overwhelming issue. So it's not just a fan base's problem. It's the problem of the administrators and the coaches as well. Matt, always great talking to you. Listen, have a great one over the weekend in softball, and then certainly basketball, and you and I will kick it around next Thursday. Take care, my friend.
It sounds good, Tony. I'll leave you with this. How many times can you keep asking someone for money? It's probably the biggest problem right now in college sports.
You're right. And also, as we brought up the other day, Fertig and I did, when a coach comes in now, you're going to have to ask him just as much about what money can he bring to the table as opposed to what can you offer him in regard to support. I think it's become a mutual proposition, at least at the mid-major level. That's for damn sure. Matty, appreciate it, my friend. Take care.
All right, you too, Tony. Anytime.
All right. Matt Norville will take a break, come back, tell you about the schedule. Hand it off to Phil. He is still at Radio Row up in the Bay Area getting ready for the 49ers and the Broncos. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. The Seahawks and the Patriots on our air on Sunday. More after this as the Bulldog Hour continues on this Thursday on Central Valley Sports Leader 1430 ESPN. Welcome back. 253. Joe, hand it off to Phil. He's at San Francisco's Radio Row. Been there all week, getting ready for the Super Bowl on our air on Sunday. So, Phil, with you, the full 3 to 6, and the Lakers coming up. tell you all about the schedule beyond that, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his great business, Precision Civil Engineering, in just a moment. Remind you, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, all there under one roof. More information, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. And again, we commend Ed for the great work he does for his alma mater, Fresno State, in regard to fundraising there through the Lyles College of Engineering. Again, the goal always to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It's worked beautifully over the years, and a lot of those graduates from Lyles College of Engineering at Fresno State come to work for Ed at Precision Civil Engineering. Mentioned the Lakers are up tonight. I was talking about that in regard to Paul George. Paul, of course, cannot play back at home with Philly in because he's suspended right now. But the Sixers playing great ball. They and the Lakers, 6:45 tonight on 14:30 with a tip at 7. Over the weekend, we have FPU baseball and basketball, so stay tuned for that. And, of course, as I mentioned, the Super Bowl on Sunday will start at 11 a.m., the long, long pregame from Westwood One, and they'll kick it off at Levi's just after 3:30. Want to remind you again that in regard to Fresno Pacific, our friend Paul Metters has the fine show all about Sunbird Athletics, 6 to 7 on Wednesdays on our sister station, the Deuce 790, 6 to 7 in the evening. And also Paul has his long-running and outstanding show on 1430 Central Valley Sports Report, 10 a.m. to noon, live from First Ring Sports on Saturdays. Phil, with you 3 to 6 normally, that's the case today. Usually on a Thursday, he would be at Fashion Furniture. Of course, today's up in the Bay Area for Super Bowl coverage. But always stop by Fashion Furniture. Most Thursdays, Phil is there, but certainly any day of the week, stop in, see Rod Abedikian. The great specials going on right now for President's Day. They just wrapped up the January clearance. Best furniture on the planet, nothing like it in all of California. Some good eats when Phil is there. And always the Lee's Air hotline to reach Phil, 320-1430-559-320-1430. If you stop in, check out the great furniture and tell Rod Abedikian thank you for supporting athletics at every level throughout the Valley for so many years. Right now, Rod has been one of the great benefactors in supporting every type of athletic endeavor in this valley of ours. Again, El Paso across from River Park, that is where you'll find Fashion Furniture. We are with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, TDAD1 at ATT.net, TDAD, the number one at ATT.net. First names are fine. Everything for the station, 1430 ESPN, Fresno.com. You'll find the live links and podcast there. So for us, lineup-wise tonight, to repeat, Phil, 3 to 6 from Radio Row. Give him a call. He'll be up just after the break. Then shortly after he wraps up in San Francisco at 6 o'clock, 6:45, the Lakers and the 76ers. And again, you've got Fresno Pacific action over the weekend, and everything culminates with the Super Bowl from Westwood One at 11 o'clock in the morning on Sunday. Thanks, as always, to Jorge. Thanks to Matt Norville for his time. Jackson with me tomorrow. We'll get back to Fresno State football at that time. We'll go over a little bit more of what we'd already covered about signing day and any update that Jackson might have. We will see you guys tomorrow. Stay tuned for Phil. This is KFIG Fresno.